Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. The 2023 Greenhouse Gas Emissions Inventory Reports were presented to Council at their meeting this week, showing the city's progress in reducing emissions and adding some new data to the mix. The reports presented showed a 5.4% reduction in community emissions from the base year of 2018. In corporate emissions, meaning those created by municipal operations, there was a 19% decrease. The 2023 inventory also provided per capita reporting for the first time to, quote, provide a deeper understanding of which reduction efforts have the greatest potential impact as the city's population grows, end quote. As a whole, the community achieved a reduction of 11.5% per capita. This amounts to a 60,563-ton reduction. The largest emission reductions in both the corporate and community reports were seen in transportation and transit, with transportation emissions dropping by 7.4% community-wide. This was attributed to the city putting focus on initiatives like adding more electric vehicles to the fleet and biodiesel used in transit buses in place of regular diesel fuel, as well as circumstances like remote work and the increased efficiency of vehicles. However, the year was not without challenges. Emissions from water and wastewater services increased by 22.4% and 15.4% respectively from 2022 to 2023 alone, a significant rise compared to other sectors. According to the report, the increase is likely a symptom of broader climate change challenges, such as more frequent rainstorms, as well as a rise in demand due to population growth. Population growth also tempered the total emissions reductions. The report states that, quote, future strategies will need to focus on more aggressive measures to ensure that reductions are achieved both in total emissions and on a per capita basis, end quote. The impact of the province's increased reliance on natural gas on local reduction efforts was also pointed out in the report. Nathan Mannion with GreenSkill Incorporated, who prepared the reports, spoke to this issue before council.
The electricity emissions went up in the province because over the last several years or last few years, increasing electricity demand has been met with increased electricity production from natural gas as opposed to some of the cleaner sources that was being used in 2018. So this is where most of that's coming from, and we expect the province to continue to meet that demand with more natural gas. So we expect that emission factor to increase over the next few years as well, up until about 2040.
Emissions from Ontario's electricity grid are more than 50% higher in 2023 than in 2018. The increase in carbon intensity of Ontario's electricity grid has significantly reduced the impact of energy efficiency efforts at the municipal level, creating challenges for the city in meeting their climate goals. In January 2024, Council was presented with a report showing that the city fell significantly short of its 2022 greenhouse gas reduction goals, achieving an 8% reduction with a target of 15%. This announcement caused environmental advocates to urge the city to set and reach more ambitious targets. The city referenced this shortcoming, stating, quote, given that the corporate target of a 15% reduction from 2018 levels by 2022 was missed, significant action is required, end quote. The city's 2030 emissions reduction goal is to reach 30% below 2018 levels and carbon neutrality by 2040. In a message directly from the City of Kingston, honoring the recipients of the 2024 Celebrating Accessibility Awards. On December 3rd, 2024, the City of Kingston and the Municipal Accessibility Advisory Committee will celebrate this year's winners of the Celebrating Accessibility Awards. Community members are invited to join the city, MAAC, and the award winners at a ceremony on Tuesday, December 3rd from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Donald Gordon Hotel and Conference Center at 421 Union Street, Kingston. Keynote speaker Elliot Moritz, a public speaker dedicated to raising education and awareness about the queer and disabled community, will share their experiences dealing with the medical system and the world as a queer, trans, non-binary person with multiple disabilities. The event is free and all are welcome to attend. there will be an ASL interpreter available. If you require accommodation, you can contact Derek Ochek, Deputy City Clerk, at dochej@cityofkingston.ca or 613-546-4291, extension 1252. Mayor Brian Patterson says, quote, "The individuals, businesses, and organizations we honor this year remind us that accessibility is a shared responsibility, one that strengthens our community and enriches the lives of everyone. By turning ideas into action, the recipients' efforts have made real change," end quote. The following are this year's recipients. For a community organization, volunteers working with the Inclusive Play Project have dedicated many months to researching, designing, and advocating for an inclusive playground in Kingston. Inclusive playgrounds welcome children and adults of all abilities to play together, creating a fun, supportive environment. Stacey Watson, the nominator for this group, states, quote, "They have drawn attention to the notion of inclusion and accessibility in recreation and brought a community together in the process," end quote. For community member, Rachel Dornekamp leads the Inclusive Play Project, devoting countless hours to help it progress. Thanks to Dornekamp's work, nominators Kate Joslin and Councillor Brandon Tozo share that what they started as an idea has become a significant movement, raising $200,000 in the past year to promote accessible play for everyone. As for businesses, Ashley Peck launched Purely Mobile Hygiene to provide dental hygiene services directly to people in their homes and retirement communities. Aiming to make healthcare more accessible, Purely Mobile Hygiene works with all insurance companies, including government-funded programming, so people can worry less about cost. Nominator Tracy Kelly states, quote, "Ashley is working towards allowing these individuals to be able to receive the dental hygiene care they need," end quote. The second business being recognized is Four Cats Art Studio. The West End Four Cats Art Studio staff have worked hard to ensure that children with disabilities can participate in art and creativity. Nominator Kate Joslin highlighted how the studio works to include her child, who uses a wheelchair full-time and requires more assistance in completing some tasks. She states, quote, "For 3 years now, she has been able to attend both weekly art sessions and day camps without any worry," end quote. The city, with MAAC, started the Celebrating Accessibility Awards in 2011 to acknowledge individuals, groups, and organizations making significant contributions to improving access for everyone in Kingston. The awards ceremony takes place each year, celebrating recipients alongside the International Day of Persons with Disabilities on December 3rd. This day, observed since 1992, raises awareness about disability issues and promotes the well-being of people with disabilities. Once again, that was a message directly from the City of Kingston. If you would like to attend the ceremony honoring recipients of the 2024 Celebrating Accessibility Awards, you can head to the Donald Gordon Hotel and Conference Center at 421 Union Street on Tuesday, December 3rd from 1 to 3 p.m. This has been CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie with your headlines for this evening. Next up is student reporter Ali Al-Safadi with your campus news update.
Hello everyone, this is Ali Safadi, CFRC's campus news reporter, and welcome to my segment about Queen's University's Responsible Investing Review Committee. In May 2024, Queen's University Apartheid Divest, or QUAD, submitted a request that the university to divest its pooled endowment and investment funds from companies doing business with the State of Israel and to implement a screening process for future investments. The committee's mandate, under the university's responsible investing policy, includes a thorough review of the request, considering factors such as consistency with university policies, feasibility, materiality to the investment portfolio, and potential impacts on risk and return. The committee is particularly interested in hearing views on whether the university should divest from companies associated with Israel or adopt a screening process to prevent future investments in such companies. QUAD has been advocating for their request throughout the year. In their detailed report, they outline the following. This special request report, based on the responsible investing policy at Queen's University, calls on the Board of Trustees to completely divest from companies that facilitate the illegal occupation of the occupied Palestinian territories under international law. Queen's University Apartheid Divest calls for academic boycotts against Israeli universities due to their human rights violations. Diving deeper into the report, QUAD has set its request for Queen's University based on their findings. Some requests include that Queen's University immediately cuts ties with corporations, companies, and institutions that profit from human rights violations in Palestine. Another request is that Queen's University to divest over $150 million of endowment holdings invested in companies and corporations profiting from Israeli apartheid, specifically corporations on the BDS list, weapons companies, and defense contractors. QUAD has listed many requests in the report, which can be found in their Instagram bio, but one of the most important ones is that Queen's University has to recognize and adopt the Arab Canadian Lawyers Association definition of anti-Palestinian racism within Queen's University's framework to address the rampant anti-Palestinian racism. This is a pressing issue that has been brought to Principal Dean and his administration by Palestinian, Arab, and Palestinian allied students in November of 2023. But unfortunately, the definition has yet to be adopted. During the summer of 2024, a group of students launched an encampment here at Queen's University. This encampment aimed to strengthen their requests towards divestment. After a long summer, Queen's University Principal and Vice Chancellor Patrick Dean established a Principal's Review Committee for Responsible Investing to assess a special request from Queen's University Apartheid Divest, a campus group. This committee includes some key figures in the Queen's community, such as the 14th Chancellor, Jim Leach, the committee chair, Nikki Boychuk-Hale, the rector, and of course, Jonathan Rose, the professor and the head of Department of Political Studies. While Quad has requested a seat on this committee for the sake of fair judgment, their request was denied, further alienating them and treating them as if they're not a part of the Queen's community. After months of advocacy, Queen's University's Responsible Investing Review Committee has completed its public consultation on a request from the Quad Coalition. The consultation period, which ran from August to mid-October, received over 320 written submissions representing 550 individuals and organizations. Additionally, 44 in-person consultations were held over 4 days. Chair of the committee, Jim Leach, expressed gratitude for the respectful and thoughtful input provided. He stated that all submissions will be reviewed carefully as the committee prepares a recommendation for the principal, who will present it to the Board of Trustees. As this is an ongoing issue, further updates will be shared through the Queen's Gazette and the Responsible Investing Committee's website, as well as CFRC. It is important to acknowledge what Quad offers and what their requests are. While this committee is a step forward towards an equitable university, it also creates a lot of backlash and controversy around the entire issue. After some research and talking to some students that are directly affected by this issue, it is evident that Palestinians and Arabs and Palestinian supporters don't feel welcome here at Queen's when the university invests $150 million in the ongoing occupation of the Palestinian territories. Another important request from the Quad Coalition is that Queen's University disclose any and all investment holdings managed by Queen's University's external asset managers, specifically weapons companies and defense contractors. Another crucial request is that Queen's University to vigorously protect students, staff, and faculty's academic freedom and the right to political speech, as well as to end all targeted surveillance and policing of Palestinians and their allies. If you want to learn more and stay up to date, make sure to check out the Responsible Investment Committee's website, as well as Quad's Instagram at QUApartheidDivest. Thank you all for listening. As always, this is Ali Safadi, CFRC's Campus News Reporter. Make sure to tune in, stay informed, and we'll see you next time.
Hello, sports fans. I'm Isabel Garrido, and you're tuned in to CFRC's Sports Desk. Let's dive into the latest sports action from the Gaels and beyond. Starting with women's basketball, the Queen's Gaels have extended their win streak to an impressive 6 games, following a dominant 59-41 victory over the Lakehead Thunderwolves at the Arc on November 23rd. The Gaels are rolling with the defensive intensity and excellent inside scoring, keeping them on top. Katrina Renan led the charge, posting a standout double-double performance with 20 points and 13 rebounds. Michaela Farlan also contributed a double-double of her own, adding 12 points and 11 rebounds. Over to men's hockey, the Queen's Gaels are on a 4-game win streak following a thrilling 3-2 victory over the team you bowled on November 23rd. Goalie Christian Perbu was the star, stopping 45 shots to keep his team ahead. The Gaels took an early 2-0 lead in the first period thanks to goals from Daniel Michaud and Nolan Hutchinson. Hutchinson, the OUA's top scorer, recorded his 15th goal of the season. After a scoreless second period, Cameron Tolnai added an insurance goal on a power play in the third. Though Team U pulled within one in the final minutes, Perbu held strong, even making a critical save with just seconds left. The Gaels now sit at a 13-3 on the season and will face the Toronto Varsity Blues November 29th at 7:30 p.m. at Kingston Memorial Centre. Don't miss it. Stream it live on OUA.tv. In university football, Laval captured the 2024 Vanier Cup right here in Kingston, defeating the Wilfrid Laurier Golden Hawks 22-17. The Vols' Felipe Forteza made history, kicking a record sixth field goal in the final minutes to seal the win. The Rouge now have 12 Vanier Cups, with Laurier's last win dating back to 2005. Golden Hawks fought hard, and fans at Wilf's Restaurant in Waterloo were on the edge of their seats for a memorable watch party, but it wasn't enough to overcome Laval's dominance. That's all for your CFRC Sports Desk for today. I'm Isabella Garrido, and now I'll throw it back to Christina Laurie for the weather update.
Thank you, Isabella. Now it's time for your CFRC weather report for this evening. Tonight, we're expecting cloudy skies with a 40% chance of showers late this evening and after midnight. We'll have rain beginning after midnight. We have a low of plus 1 degrees. Tomorrow, on Tuesday, November 26th, we're expecting rain to end early in the morning, then we'll have cloudy skies and a 40% chance of showers for the remainder of the day. We have a high of 8 degrees and a UV index of 1 or low. On Tuesday night, we'll have cloudy periods with a 40% chance of flurries or rain showers and a low of plus 1. On Wednesday, November 27th, we're expecting a mix of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of flurries or rain showers and a high of plus 5. On Wednesday night, we'll have cloudy periods with a low of 0. On Thursday, November 28th, we're expecting cloudy skies with a 40% chance of snow or rain and a high of plus 3. Those conditions will continue on into the evening, but will drop to a low of minus 1. On Friday, November 29th, finishing off the week, we have a mix of sun and cloud with a 40% chance of flurries and a high of plus 2. Friday night, cloudy periods with a 40% chance of flurries and a low of minus 3. That wraps up your quick weather report for this evening, and next up is your CFRC traffic report with Jesse Bell.
This is Jesse Bell with the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week of Monday, November 25th, 2024. Road closures. Abbeydon Road, Highway 2 to Middle is closed to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Albert Street, Princess 2486 Albert is closed until December 31st to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert. Collins Bay Road, CN Rail Crossing to Bath is closed November 30th, December 1st, 8th, and 9th from 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. each day for the installation of a gas main. Collingwood Street, Earl to Union is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Cooper Street, Albert to Collingwood is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Hillscrest Avenue, Kings Court to 7th is closed for buried infrastructure replacement. Road will be open to local traffic. Kings Court Avenue, Hillcrest to Kirkpatrick, closed to accommodate a water main replacement. Union Street, Willingdon to Albert is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. And University Avenue, Union to Earl is closed for construction related to the Queens J-Duck. Here are some other delays to keep an eye on this week. Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl, expect delays and closures along Aberdeen for a contractor to complete road and sewer reconstruction. Bay Ridge Drive, Princess to Taylor Kidd, expect delays while a contractor begins phase 2 of the Bay Ridge Drive active transportation upgrades. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles to Edwin and Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes phase 2 of the Princess and Collins Bay active transportation improvements. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford. Expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal updates, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Sir John A. MacDonald Boulevard at Elmwood. Expect delays while a contractor upgrades the intersection at Sir John A. MacDonald Boulevard and Elmwood Street, including replacement of street lighting, new traffic lights, replacement of asphalt on roadways, and a new multi-use pathway south of the intersection towards Bath Road. And that's a wrap for the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week of November 25th, 2024. And now it's time for CFRC's community events calendar for the week. On Monday, November 25th, The Brass and One-Eyed Jacks will host their weekly trivia games starting at 7 and 7:45 p.m., respectively. On Tuesday, November 26th, the Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. Also on Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m., there is a newcomer men's group hosted by Immigrant Services Kingston and Area, where newcomer men can meet other newcomers at 837 Princess Street. Daft Brewing is also hosting a Euchre Night starting at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, November 27th, Something in the Water Brewing and Daft Brewing will also host their Trivia Nights starting at 7 p.m., and One-Eyed Jacks will host North End Board Games Night for free, also starting at 7 p.m. Also on Wednesday, November 27th, CFRC will be holding its first annual Radiothon. The Radiothon is a dynamic 24-hour live radio stream featuring the very best in locally produced music and news. Catch your regular favorites and some special one-off programs exclusively on CFRC 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. The broadcast begins at 8 a.m. Wednesday morning and runs until 8 a.m. Thursday morning. More details are available online at CFRC.ca. On Thursday, November 28th, the Kingston Meistersingers are thrilled to present the musical Bonnie and Clyde, the true crime story of Bonnie Parker and Clyde Barrow. The show will run for 10 performances from November 21st to December 1st at the newly opened Sesame Theater, located in the new French High School behind the RioCan. Also on Thursday, the Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. And of course, the Grad Club is running its free and hugely popular weekly trivia night every Thursday starting at 8 p.m. On Friday, November 29th, get ready for a vibrant night of Latin rhythms at the Grad Club. Join us from 8 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. for an unforgettable dance event featuring salsa, timba, bachata, merengue, and reggaeton across two floors of non-stop music. Tickets available online through Eventbrite and at the door. On Saturday, November 30th, the Independent Wrestling Academy proudly presents Wrestling School of Rock. This family-friendly professional wrestling event is being held in the upper hall of the Spire on 82 Sydenham Street, and a portion of all proceeds goes directly to CFRC 101.9 FM's funding drive. Doors open at 5 p.m., show begins at 5:30. Tickets available online through iwacanada.ca, but a select number of tickets will also be available at the doors for $20. Also on Saturday, November 30th, celebrate 20 years of She Sings Women's Choir with a free show at Chalmers United Church on 212 Berry Street. The show starts at 7:30 p.m. and runs until 9:30 p.m. And finally, on Sunday, December 1st, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. featuring food, artisanal crafts, and music. That's a wrap for the community events calendar. Have a concert or event you would like to add to our online calendar? Reach out today via CFRC.ca and don't forget to follow CFRC on Instagram at CFRCMusic.
Thank you, Jesse. Now we're going to dive into our concert listings for this week. Tonight at the Broom Factory, Classified, Rhea May, Jordan, Brett Matthews, O-Sound, and DJ Ivy will be taking the stage presented by KPP Concerts. Tickets are $50 and doors are at 7 p.m. Show starts at 7:30. Tomorrow, on Tuesday, November 26th, Kingston Youth Orchestra Concert and Ode to Joy Festival featuring the finale of Beethoven's 9th Symphony will be taking place at the Spire. Show starts at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, November 27th, you can head to Hotel Wolf Island for Hotel Sessions Open Mic Night. Musicians join in for their open stage night every Wednesday this fall. This is a free event starting at 7 p.m. and running until 10 p.m. $5 dates will take the stage at Spearhead Brewery with live covers from Blue Rodeo and Neil Young to Mumford & Sons and The Lumineers. Show starts at 7 p.m. and runs until 10 p.m. On Thursday, November 28th, iMother Earth, The Wilderness, and Luscious are teaming up for an exciting show at the Ale House and Canteen. Show starts at 7 p.m. and tickets are $50. The Sadie McFadden Band will also be playing at the Toucan from 9:30 p.m. to 1 a.m. This is a free show. On Friday, November 29th, The Spectators will be playing at the club at the RCHA. You are in for a night of classic rock plus a few surprises. Tickets are $5 and the show runs from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Doors are at 4. The Celtic Kitchen Party will be kicking off the weekend at Tiernanog on Friday night with traditional and contemporary Celtic, Irish, and Scottish covers and originals. This is a free show running from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Presented by KPP Concerts, The Brokes, and Blunt Force Llama. Tickets are $17 plus fees, and the show starts at 7:30 p.m. running until 10 p.m. Also on Saturday, kick off the festive season with an East Coast Experience Christmas, award-winning alt-folk roots rock ensemble. They'll be playing at the Cove Inn for $85 from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Finishing off the week on Sunday, December 1st, Bill Kirchen's Honky Tonk Holiday Show. Rarely heard holiday numbers from blues, rock and roll, and honky tonk bands. Tickets are $40 and the show runs from 7:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. If you're looking for an afternoon show on Sunday, the Zoo Bombs, Owl Farm, Echoes, Rev Zed, and Gifts of Guilt will be playing The Mansion at 3 p.m. Tickets are $20. That wraps up your concert listings for this week. Have a concert in Kingston in an area that you would like covered on our website and news programming? Contact us today at cfrc.ca. Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage funky one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.